Welcome to the Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again on Podcast Friday with my co-host, Al McDonald. Al, what a Friday it's been. What are you saying?
Yes, always enjoy Podcast Fridays. Get to speak with some great people. Always come away with some new learnings, which is very exciting. And again, looking forward to our guests today.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Al. Great people. And people, I hope they don't get tired of me saying this, but it's so true. And I found this through the podcast, not only the podcast, but also business. Really good people know other really good people. And that's how we met our guest today. So joining us today is Eugene Hartman, CEO of Cognitive Sales Solutions. Welcome to the show, Eugene.
Thank you, Robin. Nice to be here. Great to spend some time together today.
Well, and to expand on the really good people, because unfortunately, Al wasn't able to join us for our first conversation, but you and I had such a great conversation on our first call, and we knew within about 2 minutes that we liked each other, we were going to record a podcast to each other. But I want to expand on that about meeting really great people. It was Josh Singer who introduced us, and it's such a funny story about meeting with Josh, because that was a relationship that almost never was. Because I remember sitting in my office one day and I get a text from Josh and it says, and I'd never met him before, but we had arranged to meet. And it said, oh, just sat down at the restaurant. I look at my calendar and there's nothing. And I phone him up, said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened there. And he was great and he was very nice. But I got off that call. I said, I just blew a relationship there because there's no way this guy's ever going to meet with me again. Thankfully, Josh being who Josh is, very gracious, we booked the next meeting. Al is joining me this time. This is great. Okay, Al and I are going down to meet Josh. It starts pouring.
The instant we go outside.
Yes, we park the car and it starts pouring. So not only are we a little bit late again for meeting Josh, the sight that he saw when we walked in, we walk into the restaurant and they literally had to hand us towels. That's how soaked we were. So it's amazing that Josh still talks to us to this day and is willing to do introductions, but I think it says a lot about his character. So I'm really, really happy to have you here. So without further ado, why don't we jump into it? Because I think a really good starting point is Cognitive Sales Solutions. What's that all about? What does the team do?
Yeah, thanks, Robin. Essentially, we support clients across the country, really providing sales associates for them. And so we're an agency. We work with national partners across the country. And really, the part I've always seen with an agency is typically people will hire them because they either don't want to do a task or they don't know how to do the task. And so that's really where we come in, is we build a full sales solution package. And so we recruit, we hire, we train sales associates to be able to provide a variety of different services depending on what the client needs. But they are the face-to-face interaction on behalf of the client. So it creates a very different dynamic for us because we are a guest in someone else's home. It's not our own stores, it's other retailers. So we've got their rules and different operations that we have to follow, standard operating procedures. And the reality is many of those locations are also franchised and owned independently. So that creates a whole unique dynamic, is you've got a corporate dynamic, you've got a cognitive culture, and then you've also got an owner operator that you have to please as well.
Well, I love sales and I could talk to you about sales all day. I don't know if you saw a post I did, I think it was yesterday, the day before, on LinkedIn about getting to know the answer no as quickly as possible is something I really appreciate. And I find it very respectful when I'm talking to someone if we know we're not going to deal with each other, like, let's not both spin our wheels. And I find, you know, so I'm always finding ways to get to that no as quickly as possible. But I do want to talk a little bit further about your background, because on our first conversation, I thought how you got to where you are today was such an interesting story. I was hoping you could share that with our listeners.
Absolutely. I don't know if you've ever read the Family Circus cartoons back in the day. I might be dating myself.
Of course.
Oh, that's okay. You're with a good crowd here.
Roadmap all over the place. Yeah. And that really was the journey of my career, if I'm being honest. I started out going to school for social services to work with children with developmental disabilities back in the day. And so really, I kind of fell into sales. I thought it would be a temporary gig. I got hired on with Future Shock. For those that remember the electronics chain that Best Buy bought out a number of years ago. And in my eyes, it was going to be a temporary thing. So I got hired on. It was 100% commission. I had found out probably the week before that my wife and I were expecting our daughter. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to support a family being 100% on commission? I had never worked retail a day in my life before this. And I was the guy that had my friends come over and hook up my stereo and TVs. Like, it was just not my thing. So electronic gear was not my thing. Sales was not my thing. I'm pretty sure I was almost fired 3 times within my first month. And because they stuck me in a lunchroom with a stack of owner's manuals and said, go learn this. And that just wasn't how I learned. And so I certainly remembered that in my future when training others, is that you really have to learn in the manner in which the student learns, not the teacher per se. And so anyway, it took me quite some time. I was in this lunchroom. I finally got out. I passed my sales test that I was allowed to sell independently. It was 2 weeks into the month, and I ended up tying for second highest commission for the month in the store. Even though I had only sold 2 weeks, everybody else had sold 4. And then after that, I sold for about 7 more months, and I was number one in the store every single month. And I don't say that out of ego or pride. I say that out of the sense that it was around connecting with people. So I wasn't the guy that spouted off all the specs. I wasn't the guy that, you know what I mean, had the background or the history in it. It was really around asking the right questions and really connecting with the customer in the sense that they felt comfortable to open up. And then I just was able to match those needs. I found that part easy. And so anyway, I had a ton of fun and then worked with Future Shop and Best Buy for about 15 years, moving across the entire country. So I started out in London, Ontario. I was promoted to an assistant sales manager, then store manager, district manager, et cetera, national manager, and moved across the entire country. So started out in Ontario, went out to Nova Scotia and Halifax, then went out to Alberta and had a few of the Western provinces there. It was such a learning. We often, the group of us that went through that Future Shop phase, really said it was like going through your MBA in real life. As we learned so much, it was very much that entrepreneurship. You owned your store, so to speak. It was certainly a corporate location, but you had a lot of influence in how you created the culture within your team, how you executed the programs. And so anyway, it was just a fantastic experience.
Well, you talked about a lot there and a lot that I can relate to. It's interesting how many people we speak to on this podcast where they talk about how where they are right now was nowhere that they thought they were going to be when they started out, right? It's a very convoluted journey. And it's almost surprising how many people we talk to that had no intention of ending up where they've ended up, but they've gotten there. And it's really interesting to see that path. So that was interesting. And then the other thing you said that I clued into was when you talked about going into commissions and finding out within a short while that you're expecting your first child. And I have a similar story. When I first started in this role and it was 100% commissions, part of the reasoning was, hey, worst thing that could happen, my wife's got a good job. She has a good income. So you know what? If I kind of fall flat in my face, we should be okay, right? Within a very short period of time, she lost that job. And so it was kind of the same situation, like, oh my God, now I better be good in this role or else we're in trouble. So I could definitely relate to that. I want to ask you a question. So, you know, one of the things that we quite often talk about, I think Robin made a post earlier this week on LinkedIn about, you know, turning obstacles into opportunities. And we face obstacles all the time. You've already said a couple of things. So maybe can you talk about some of the things that you've faced in your career, some obstacles and how you dealt with them and overcame them? Could you share some of that with us?
Oh, for sure. Many different ones. So I would say briefly, if I go back and I started the Future Shop days, When Best Buy first bought out Future Shop, they were the first ones to try and do this dual brand strategy, right? And so the last store that I ran was the Heartland Mississauga Future Shop, and that's where they put the Heartland Best Buy in. I could throw a baseball, basically hit their store. And so when they first came to the country, obviously there was a lot of horsepower behind making sure they were set up for success. They wrapped all the Toronto City buses with Best Buy wrap. They rented out the Air Canada Center, had a free Our Lady Peace concert. Like, there was a lot of energy putting behind making sure that this group was successful. So in our Future Shop world, we had to essentially make sure that we still kept our market share. We still had to make sure that we hit budgets and targets, but yet there was no energy put behind the Future Shop world other than internal. And so my focus was, again, just to put it back into our people. And so I still remember clear as day, we had a board of directors meeting. And so the board from the Best Buy US was there. And I'm looking around the room and I'm like, man, the shoes that these guys are wearing are more expensive than my car, type of thing. And so like, it was just a very high caliber group of individuals that were there. And as we're about to do the store tour, they're like, okay, we're ready for you to walk the store. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have my future leaders here tour you around. And our president and our vice president, I thought they were going to have a heart attack. They're like, what do you mean you're going to let your team go do this? Like, they thought it should be me as the store manager running to walk them through. I'm like, no, they got it. And it was the fact that the team itself was able to share what they were doing, how they interacted with customers, the development programs that we had created within the store. These were sales associates doing the tour, not even assistant managers. But the fact that sales associates that were in a future leader program were able to tour them around, they were ecstatic. And then they understood how the store was still doing so well. So I would certainly say that would be one. When I started with the company called OSL, we're the group that launched Walmart Wireless. And so at that point, Walmart had 0% market share in the wireless space. And we were tasked with opening up 100 stores in 100 days. And so that was just a huge obstacle. We had to try and recruit talent to find out. And it was in Q4. So in Q4, nobody wants to leave the security of their commission checks, their bonus checks for the quarter, the end of the year, all that kind of stuff, to go to an organization that had no market share. So again, I would say my common theme was around people, people development and growth, without a doubt. And then I would definitely say the biggest obstacle, though, was with cognitive during COVID. So we had, at that point, probably about 500, 550 associates. And the models that we had set up with our clients pre-COVID were 100% on a pay-for-performance type of program. And so we had to lay off about 550 people literally overnight because we weren't considered essential service workers. So if you're in a pay-for-performance model with nobody in stores working, there is zero revenue coming in during that time. And so we didn't know if we were going to have a company. And so really, that's even where Optimi, our sister company, was born, was the, well, what if we could do this online? What would that look like? And so we had a small tech team at the time, and they basically built our own app and the things that we needed to run our own business. And so that whole group then went full-time focused on how do we develop the Optimi platform, which allows a plugin to be on anybody's e-com site, have a conversation like we're doing today, whether it's video, voice, or text, as well as use all the tools and resources that they have. So we did a few things. We literally overcame the obstacle by starting an entire new company with a whole new division. Today, fast forward 3.5 years later, has over 100 plus clients using the platform. So it's fantastic. And then we had to change our entire training model. So everything before was face-to-face. During that time, you couldn't be face-to-face to do the training. So therefore, we developed our LMS system and all our leadership development programs, all 100% digital. We're now today in a hybrid world. So we kind of do a little bit of 50-50 in that sense. But we completely changed the dynamic of our entire organization during that time.
You know, I'm hearing a couple of common themes here. You just mentioned it with that obstacle. You mentioned it before with, hey, the first time I'm on commission, I suddenly find that my wife's pregnant with her first child. What I think I'm hearing is, you know, real resiliency, the real ability to adapt to the situation. And again, look at those obstacles as opportunities to maybe make a pivot and just say, hey, you know, I'm throwing myself in here, sink or swim, which is what we talked about when we began this podcast, because you said this is your first podcast. And I said, well, you might as well just dive into the deep end.
Exactly.
I've always had that mentality, the concept we were taught back in the day of BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yeah.
Set something crazy and go after it wholeheartedly, full passion, figure out the resources and the support that you need to do it. But I don't know. I've certainly lived my entire career in that mentality.
And I love, too, that you mentioned your faith in people, right? And putting your faith in them and just trusting them to be able to do the right thing. So I think that's a real important thing to share as well.
It's so ingrained to the point that literally the hour before we started this podcast, I was on with our co-op students. So we have co-op students in various schools and colleges and universities across the country. At the start of each semester, when they start the program, I do a 1-hour session with them where our co-op students can ask any questions that they want of me and talk about their experience. And a big part of that really was around the resilience piece that we talked about earlier, as well as just the concept of being able to dive in and try something new that normally you might be a little scared to do so.
Right.
Eugene, I am going to pivot just for a second because one of the people we met through the podcast was a lady named Christine Song, and she is a true celebrity in the HR space in Toronto. And we had lunch with Christine and she gave us such a great piece of advice and says, I love the podcast, love what you guys do. My only piece of advice is always get to know the person behind the role. So on that note, and no pun intended on note, but for people watching this on YouTube, obviously they will see your background. But if you're just listening to this, you won't see that there's a guitar hanging on the wall and a set of drums behind Eugene. So here's my question. Your favorite song to play that you can actually play? And then what would be your dream song that if you could play it without making any mistakes, what would that be?
Oh my goodness. That's a great question. In drums, I actually feel comfortable, and this is going to sound bad, but I think I could play pretty much any song on drums, only because I've done it since I was 13.
Okay.
My first job was playing in my dad's wedding band back in the day. So I was 13 years old. He had to sign in permission that I could be in bars and different reception halls, you name it, back in the day. So that was a lot of fun. Guitar, and I play a little bit of bass as well. I could learn a lot there. So favorite song to play on bass guitar? Oh my goodness. You're putting me on the spot here. I like the band called Bare Naked Ladies. I don't know.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh,
yes, of course.
Their bass player, Jim, is fantastic.
He is
incredible. And so actually, I would probably say any of those songs, any of the Bare Naked Ladies songs, I would love to learn how to play on bass because he is an inspirational bass player.
Wasn't his brother in the band for a little while as well?
He was.
He didn't stay that long, but he was in the band. I actually had occasion to get backstage with them years ago. And of course, they wouldn't remember who I was, but just great guys. And I remember going to their concerts and they were just so much fun.
Oh, great.
Like their music was just, for me anyway, it brings me back to a time where it was just such a great time of my life and it was just a fun time. So I love that you said Bare Naked Ladies. I am going to get back to the business side now, but I thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that because it does give us a little insight into a little more about who you are. We ask this question a lot on the podcast and we always get a different answer. But for you, what does success look like?
I think over the years, again, being on commission and in a sales type of world, I don't really remember necessarily my bonus or commission checks. I do remember when I promoted people, though, and the stories of how they felt and what it looks like. And so I've been in a number of very large organizations where it's literally thousands of people, and you go to conferences and you can see people sitting at the tables before an awards night or dinner. And you're like, I played a tiny little piece in their development story, right? And so I think success for me looks like it's really being able to pass it on to that next generation. And so when I can develop a team that is thriving, I always tell my group, I'm like, work yourself out of your current job so I can give you a newer, cooler job. And so success for me is basically doing the same thing. Is do I work myself out of my current role so that I can explore and do other new things? I think that's success to me.
I love your answer. That resonates so much for me. And I'll share a story here. We had a fellow at the account executive role here. His name's Chris. And Chris called me on a Friday one time and he was very upset. And he said, I got this offer from one of the carriers, so a supplier to us. You know, we talked about it and Chris has young kids and it was such a great opportunity for him. So he left. And instead of going outside of the company, we had someone who wasn't in that role, but we thought she had potential to go in that role. And it's been amazing on twofold. It's been amazing to see Stephanie in our office step up to the plate and bloom into that role, and she's knocking it out of the park. Again, commissions will come and go. Knowing you've had an impact on someone's life, that's something that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. And on the other side, when Chris left, I was very proud. I thought, boy, I taught him well. He negotiated with the carrier supplier that he was going to be our rep going forward. And as of today, he let me know that we're making him look very, very good because we've given him a good amount of business. So it's been awesome to be part of that success. And Aria Benefits, he's no longer with Aria Benefits, but now we call him Aria Alumni.
Oh, that's...
And, you know, you hope people are going to be with you for a long period of time, but even if they're not, you want to see them go off and succeed and know that you've been at least a little part of that, right?
100%. We actually have a hashtag at Cognitive called hashtag changing lives.
Oh, I like that.
People are like, why is that? Like, you guys have frontline workers type of thing, frontline sales associates. Like, how are you changing lives? And so we have a lot of new immigrants. We have a lot of students that join our organization because it's an entry-level sales job. And what we talked to them about, literally, like I said, I was just on with this co-op group this morning. And I'm like, regardless of what industry you're in, whether you stay with us or you take these are skills that are applicable in all stages of your career. And so we talked to them about resilience. We talked to them about communication. We talked to them any of the sales and leadership principles. I'll ask them, I'm like, how is that helping you in your school presentations? And they're like, oh, we're way better. I'm like, what role do you play when you have a group project? Oh, we're the leader. This is not something that they would have said before. And so they're like, their confidence is different, how they portray themselves. And I said, you'll be the best engineer you want to be. You'll be the best accountant in your class. You'll be the best, whatever the program is, based on if you apply these skills. And so I think that's why we have such engagement in our leadership development programs, is we know that we might be the first or second job for some of these people, but we know that they'll apply these skills at all future careers as they go forward.
That's some great insight. And I think, you hit the nail on the head, especially with young people. And I think especially these days, that is a skill that is largely missing from their skill set, is that ability to go out and talk to people. And there's no better place to do that than in the retail industry. As much as a challenging industry that can be, I think you hit the nail on the head that you're picking up some skills there dealing with people that will last them their whole lives. Okay, so again, I'm going to change gears a little bit here. What are you most excited about looking to the future? And I'm going to qualify that a little bit. Business or personal? Or both.
Or both, yeah.
You interpret that however you would like.
Okay. I think both actually kind of go together for me. I think with the recent addition of my granddaughter, we kind of paused because you're at a new milestone in life. For me, it's a new milestone, obviously. And so I think as I get older, I get clearer on what I don't want to do. And so I think my list of the things I say no to actually grows bigger than things that I say yes to. And so what I mean by that is just the value of time becomes more and more important to me. So the things that get me excited are obviously spending time with family and friends and really having a balance. I think I was just having this conversation this week. We were at a leadership development training session in Calgary. So I just flew back late last night. And one of the things that we were talking about was that I don't think my life is going to change a lot when I retire. Like, my goal is to live the life that I want now, not wait until. And so I've had lots of family members and close friends and family that always say, well, I'll wait till I retire and then I'll travel the world. I'll go for a bike ride. You know what I mean? I'll go on a cruise. I'll do these things. And so I want to live that lifestyle now. I want to live those moments now and enjoy it. So the things that I'm excited about in the future is really if I can set up our teams to be self-sufficient, right? So that they're able to do the roles so that I can pick and choose the elements that I like the most and spend more of the time on developing people and having the conversations that I find are more meaningful. That brings me a lot of fulfillment. And so being able to spend time doing what I call fills my bucket, concept of how do you fill your bucket, is super important to me. So things I'm excited about would certainly be living the lifestyle that I want now, not waiting till retirement, spending time with family and friends, and really picking and choosing the things that fill my bucket, make me happy.
I love that you said that you're getting better at saying no to more and more things because, yeah, you're right. I think as we get older, that is one of the things that we realize there's no use doing things that don't fulfill us just for the sake of helping others.
What's the saying you always remind me of, Al? If you say yes to that, what are you saying no to?
Yeah,
right. Right?
Yep, exactly right.
Agreed.
Right. So you've got to, I'm desperately trying to get better at that. Eugene, you've almost answered this question in a way, but it's time in the podcast for our signature question about planting trees. It's a bit more of a philosophical question, but I think you've begun to answer it in your own way, but maybe we'll throw it at you anyway and see if there's something else you want to add.
Yeah, I'm interested. So here we go. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
I think for me, it all comes down to these development programs. And so I give the example, as we were in Calgary this past week, we're doing a leadership teach-out session. So the first couple of days of the week, I was in a development session. So I was the student learning. And then on the Wednesday, I was the teacher teaching the group. And we talk about that ripple effect, right? Like throwing the stone in the water and seeing the ripples of how it can impact. And so developing others, we put a ton of time in a cognitive around creating these development programs. And it's not just about achieving a KPI or a sales target for on behalf of a client, but it's really around developing leaders. And so if I think of that now, the amount of LinkedIn comments I get from people across the entire country that will say, hey, I still remember when you taught me this. I still remember when you taught me that. And they're applying it to this day. I think that's the piece that resonates with me a lot. And so really, it's just if I take the time to get to know people and their personal goals as well as their professional goals. So one of the first things I introduced when I came to Cognitive is what we call our motivational tracker. And so this motivational tracker is not just what do you want to accomplish in the why, but really digging deep into understanding the why. So again, we got a lot of students as an example, and they may want to save for a car. I'm like, okay, well, cool. But what does the car represent? Well, today I got to take the bus and I got to spend 2.5 hours on the bus to commute. I'm sitting beside somebody that's a little smelly, or, you know what I mean? It's just this whole concept is I'm have to really struggle to get to work. The car represents freedom. I can listen to my favorite song, sing at the top of my lungs, pick up my friends. When I get there, I feel very different when I go to approach my shift. And so doing those motivational trackers with the team, I think is just so crucial, because when I help them fulfill their goals, ultimately they're going to help me fulfill mine, right? Because they're going to do fantastic things to accomplish.
Well, thanks for that. That is some great insight. And again, I keep hearing an ongoing theme here, which is you get a lot of fulfillment out of helping others and building for their future. So I think that's some really valuable insight that you've provided us today. So thanks.
And you know, Eugene, if someone were to ask me that question, one of my answers would be what we're doing right here. Because one of the things that I've realized over the podcast, and we just hit 200 episodes, so we've been doing this a couple of years, they're evergreen, because people will go back to an episode we recorded 3 years ago and reference it. And guests have come back and told me that as well. And one of my hopes is one day when your granddaughter's old enough, she'll go onto YouTube and she'll get to see you at this moment in time in your life and just be so impressed. Wow, what a good man my grandpa is. And she'll have that forever. And I've talked about with Al, I've recorded with my mom on this platform. And one day I will gift that to her grandkids, because I get her talking about her grandkids and you see the change in her face when she's talking about her grandkids. So my hope is that one day your granddaughter is going to be old enough to watch this and really enjoy, you know, the conversation that we had here today. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your journey. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions about yourself or what you're doing at Cognitive Sales Solutions?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to connect with people. LinkedIn obviously is the easiest way. Eugene Hartman, more than happy to connect.
All right, wonderful. Josh, thank you again. You're a gem of a human being. I appreciate you. Okay, that does it for today's episode. I really enjoyed this conversation. We hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. Success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.